AuthorityResearch.com. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Institution for Authority Research. An Overview of the Dialectic Process by Dean Gocher. The following audios are done by computer-generated voice. I apologize up front for mispronunciations, changes in volume, and speed. A short synopsis. 1 John 2 verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Everything in life is about the Father. Everything. The difference between knowing from being told and knowing from sense experience is that the soul knows from being told, the flesh by sense experience. A short synopsis, if that is even possible. A father authors commands, rules, facts, and truth to be obeyed or applied and enforces them, requiring children to humble themselves, that is to deny their lusts in order to do what they are told. Child, on the other hand, approach pleasure and avoid pain, which includes the pain of missing out on pleasure, disliking, resenting, or hating the father for taking what they are lusting after away, depending upon how much they are focusing on and wanting to have what they are lusting after. Your life is all about your father and his authority, which directly affects your behavior. From the creation of Adam to the end of eternity, it is all about the father. You came into this world as a child of a father. Without the father, and of course the mother, but the issue at hand here is all about the father and his authority, you would not be here. The problem comes when the father, thinking and acting like a child, lusts after pleasure instead of doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth that he knows are right. That is, he does his will instead of the father's. Those of and for the world focus upon the children, justifying the children's natural inclination to lust after pleasure, thereby justifying their own natural inclination to lust after pleasure with the children's affirmation, resulting in the children, even those in an adult body, following after, serving, defending, protecting, praising, worshiping, and even willingly dying for them, for justifying their lusts. Even focusing upon the family, requiring the father to compromise what he knows is right for the sake of relationship in the family, destroys his authority as the father of the family. As will be covered in detail below, this is where the use of dialogue, where the children have the final say when it comes to behavior instead of discussion, where the father has the final say, destroys the father's authority in the family. Romans 5 verse 13, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Until you are told what you did, are doing, or thinking about doing is wrong, you cannot be held accountable for doing wrong. Romans 7:7, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. By those of and for the world, justifying your children's lusts, they own them. 2 Peter 2:3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. All of social media is designed to come between the father and the children, liberating the children from the father's authority so those of and for the world can use them to actualize, that is, pay for, their own lusts, pay for their fancy houses, fancy cars, fancy boats, fancy trips, being around fancy women and fancy men that are dancing around in their head. As the Marxist Georgi Lukacs, founder of the Institute of Social Research, put it, the central problem is to change reality. Reality with its obedience to laws. Georgi Lukacs, History and Class Consciousness. What is orthodox Marxism? What people do not realize is Marxism and psychology are both built upon 1 John 2 verse 16, the negation or removal of the father's authority from the mind of the individual and from society so man can be himself, thinking and acting according to his carnal nature without having a guilty conscience, without being judged, condemned, or cast out. The rejection of capitalism does not have to do with money. Marxists love money. It is the father's control of it, requiring his children to do what he says in order to have access to it, that Karl Marx rejected of. Marxism, as psychology, is all about the father's authority. The rejection of it, driven by human nature, which includes lust for pleasure, Their purpose in life is the removal of the father's authority from the mind of the individual and from society in order for them to do wrong, disobey, sin, that is, in order for them to lust, that is, be normal with impunity. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1 verses 14 and 15. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. James 4 verses 1 to 3. Read James chapters 4 and 5 for the total picture. What can I get out of this situation and or object, people, or person for myself? Always leads to the justification of sin. It is not lust until you have been told you cannot do or have it, and you still want to do or have it. Then you have to decide whether you are going to humble yourself, deny your lusts in order to do what you are told, or do what you want, do wrong, disobey, sin, that is lust instead. Going beyond short. Knowing from being told requires faith on the part of the child, at least at first until understood. Making reasoning subject to listening, accepting, and obeying or applying the established commands, rules, facts, and truth being taught, what is called old school. Romans 10 verse 17, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Knowing from sense experience, on the other hand, is simply becoming aware of whatever or whoever is stimulating pleasure or pain in you in the moment. Reasoning then being used to justify your feelings, that is your lusts and your hate, justifying your response. While the father requires faith, the result of being told, the child, when it comes to missing out on lust, rejects being told and therefore rejects faith. Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you have been told by the Father you cannot have or do what you were lusting after, and you are still lusting after it, you do not, and cannot have faith in the Father. Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 5 verse 12, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The objective of those of and for the world, facilitators of change, psychotherapists, Marxists, socialists, globalists, is to prevent someone who knows from filling the empty space. Wilfred Bion, A Memoir of the Future. The empty space is the child in the moment deciding what he is going to do, going either with stimulus response, dialoguing with himself, yielding to the flesh and the world that is stimulating it, doing his will or doing what he is told, discussing with himself what the Father said, doing the Father will. Karl Marx. The philosophers have only interpreted the world in different ways. The objective, however, is change. Karl Marx, Feuerbach Thesis No. 11, inscribed on his tomb, so it must be important. What Karl Marx was saying is fathers, as philosophers, have their own opinion on how to behave, differing between one another, insisting their children do what they are told, they cause division within the world, between the children. The object, therefore, is change, the children's carnal nature, stimulated by and responding to the world, uniting upon what they have in common, their lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint. Thus Karl Marx could say, to enjoy the present reconciles us to the actual, and Mao Zedong could say words and actions should help to unite, and not divide, the people. Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. Thus, the duty of the facilitator of change, his only duty is to fulfill Karl Marx's and Mao Zedong's agenda. To justify the children's carnal nature, that is to justify lust and the destruction of the father's authority so they can do wrong, disobey, sin, that is lust without having a guilty conscience, with the people's, that is the children's affirmation. Romans 1 verses 28 to 32, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The facilitator of change, perceiving his self as being the personification of the people, who, like him, lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment the world stimulates, hating restraint, sees it as his duty to justify the people's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to justify his natural inclination to lust after pleasure. When you question the facilitator of change's actions, he will respond with, "It is not just about you," really meaning, "It is all about me. So I can lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience," with your affirmation. If you refuse to affirm me, that is my lusts, or get in my way, the people will remove, negate, you, since having justified their lusts, I now own them. It appears I must keep an eye on you from now on for the good of the people, that is for my good. The role of the facilitator of change is to make behavior subject to dialogue, to how you feel and what you think instead of discussion. What the father says in order for him to do wrong, disobey, sin, that is lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates without having a guilty conscience, with your affirmation. Have I said that before? For the facilitator of change, that is all there is. By the facilitator of change, creating positive, safe place zone space, open-ended, non-directed environment, which removes the father's threat of judgment, condemnation, and being cast out for immoral behavior, you are now free to be yourself. It is all the serpent, the master facilitator of change, did with the woman in the garden in Eden, by replacing, "Thou shalt surely die," what the father said with, "Ye shalt not surely die." That is, we can talk about anything here without being judged, condemned, or cast out, and her willing participation, he owned her, with Adam following after her. 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Romans 7 verse 19, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Isaiah 5 verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Luke 11 verse 35, "Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness." John 3 verses 15 to 21, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Proverbs 16 verse 25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." A formula. If we make the father the thesis, the foundation for identity, thus making the child the antithesis, there can be no synthesis, since the child, subject to the father, cannot find his identity in the children in the community, finding his identity in the father only. But if the child are made the thesis, thus making the father the antithesis, then the child, finding what he or she has in common with the children of the community, which happens to be his lust for pleasure and dissatisfaction, resentment, or hatred toward restraint, toward the father for getting in the way, can find his identity in the children of the community, creating synthesis. Luke 16 verse 15. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We cannot see our heart as being wicked. That is, desperately wicked, because our lust for pleasure is standing in the way, justifying the hate. The more we focus upon what we are lusting after, the more desperately wicked we become. What Karl Marx called critical criticism, fearing someone coming between us and what we are lusting after, going to take away or is taking away what we are lusting after, preventing us from ever having access to it again. Have you ever felt and said, I'll just die if I can't have or do, fill in the blank, and mean it? This is the key catalyst for rebellion, anarchy, and revolution, which those promoting revolution know of and utilize, creating what is known as the tyranny of the masses. If you start with the child when it comes to behavior, making the child's carnal nature the foundation from which to reason, you change the world. It is what the change process is all about. Have you heard the word change recently? It is what happened in a garden in Eden, where two children, helped by the master facilitator of change, changed how they thought when it came to behavior, from doing what the father said, from doing the father's will to reasoning for their self, according to their carnal nature, justifying their self, their lusts, liberating their self from the father's authority. The dialectic process is the praxis of Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6 of self or lust justification, negating, in the mind of the children, including those in adult bodies, Hebrews 12 verses 5 to 11, the father's authority, doing what the father says, thereby negating Romans 7 verses 14 to 25, the guilty conscience for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, for lusting, thereby negating John 3 verses 15 to 21. The need of a savior. George Hegel. The child, contrary to appearance, is the absolute, the rationality of the relationship. He is what is enduring and everlasting, the totality which produces itself once again as such. George Hegel, System of Ethical Life, Karl Marx's hero, Heraclitus wrote, Every grown man of the Ephesians should hang himself and leave the city to the boys. Jürgen Habermas, a member of the Frankfurt School, who merged Marxism and psychology, wrote, In the dialogic relation of recognizing oneself in the other, they experience the common ground of their existence. Jürgen Habermas, Knowledge and Human Interest, Chapter 3. The idea of the theory of knowledge as social theory, Norman O. Brown stated in his book, Life Against Death. The psychoanalytical meaning of history, by dialectic, I mean an activity of consciousness, struggling to circumvent the limitations imposed by the formal logical law of contradiction, which is simply the child trying to figure out how he can get around what his parents just told him to do. The common theme is the child, liberated from the father's authority, becoming at one with the other children of the community as he learns to think for himself, from his carnal nature, from what he has in common with the other children in the community and they have in common with him. Carl Rogers wrote, regarding the use of psychology to liberate the child from his parents' authority. Prior to therapy, the person is prone to ask himself, what would my parents want me to do? During the process of therapy, the individual comes to ask himself, what does it mean to me? He then wrote, experience is, for me, the highest authority. Neither the Bible nor the prophets, neither the revelations of God can take precedence over my own direct experience. Stephen Eric Bronner, Explaining Marxism, Reasoning from the Flesh Instead of from What the Father Said, wrote, The ideas of the Enlightenment taught man that he could trust his own reason as a guide to establishing valid ethical norms, and that he could rely on himself, needing neither revelation nor that authority of the church in order to know good and evil. Stephen Eric Bronner, of critical theory and its theorists, this is in defiance to the father's authority. The Marxist Erich Fromm wrote, We are proud that in his conduct of life man has become free from external authorities, which tell him what to do and what not to do. Erich Fromm, Escape from Freedom, this follows in Suit Immanuel Kant's Lawfulness Without Law, where the law of the flesh reigns without the law of God, that is the father's authority getting in the way. Jesus Christ said, John 5 verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. John 12 verses 47 to 50, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Matthew 12 verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, and sister, and mother. Matthew 7 verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 23 verse 9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Jeremiah 10 verse 23, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Those of and for the world, that is facilitators of change, believing the Heavenly Father's authority is created by the children, when they accept, honor, and submit theirself to the earthly Father's authority. They therefore see it as their duty to liberate children from the earthly Father's authority, so they, no longer having a guilty conscience for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, that is for lusting after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world is stimulating, which is a byproduct of the Father's authority, having the children's affirmation, no longer have to fear being judged, condemned, and cast out because of their carnal thoughts and carnal actions, that is because of their immoral thoughts and immoral actions. Instead of the learning environment, the work environment, the living environment being subject to what the Father says, the student, the worker, the citizen can now think and act immorally without having a guilty conscience, without fearing being judged, condemned, and being cast out. That is the facilitator of change's drive and purpose. That is his agenda. Traditional education is based upon the Father's authority, a way of thinking and behavior where the teacher one preaches established commands and rules to be obeyed as given, teaches established facts and truth to be accepted as is, by faith and applied, and discusses with the students any questions they might have regarding the commands, rules, facts, and truth they are being taught, at the teacher's discretion. Providing the teacher deems it necessary, has time, the students are able to understand, and are not questioning, challenging, defying, disregarding, attacking their authority. 2. Rewards the students who do what is right and obey. 3. Corrects and or chastens the student who does wrong and or disobeys, that he might learn to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline his self in order to do right and not wrong according to what he is being taught. And 4. Casts out, grounds or expels any student who questions, challenges, defies, disregards, attacks the Father's authority system, which I have just described. The Father's authority engenders the guilty conscience in the child when he is thinking about doing, is doing, or has done wrong, disobeyed, or sinned. When he lusting after pleasure does not do the Father's will. As a result, he carries the Father's authority system into society as he holds others accountable to his Father's. How his standards, refusing to build relationship with them when they disagree. This causes division between families as well as nations as children and citizens hold themselves and others accountable to what they have been taught or told, making doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth the means to knowing who to and who not to fellowship with and or build relationship with. When it comes to politics, majority vote and rule of law prevents any violence that might ensue, retaining the Father's authority in the home. The framers of the Constitution, with its Bill of Rights, did not kill, that is, get rid of, the king, as socialist countries do. They made the father of the home the king. By limiting the power of those in government, they made it possible for the father to rule over his family, his property, and his business according to his convictions, training up his children, the next generation of citizens, to know right from wrong according to what they were told. While he might be or might have been wrong, his children knowing he is wrong but honoring the office still retain the right-wrong way of thinking, retaining the father's authority system in society, carrying it on in the next generation as they raise their families according to the same paradigm. A paradigm being the way you feel, think, and act or behave toward yourself, toward others, toward the world, and toward the Father. Discussion is of the Father. Dialogue of the child. The Father's means of communication, which is discussion, is different than the child's, which is dialogue. The why. You said in response to your father's command that got in the way of what you wanted to do is your effort to get your father into dialogue, where you, having the final say, can do what you want. In discussion, the father has the final say. In other words, God is God. Discussion is being told what is right and what is wrong behavior according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, and being held accountable by the father. In dialogue, on the other hand, the child, being God in his own eyes, has the final say. It is an issue of doing what the father says, doing what you are told, or stimulus response, the approaching of pleasure and the avoiding of pain that the world is stimulating, imagined or real. One is objective truth, where truth is external to the child's carnal nature, of the spirit, needing to be heard, accepted as is, and applied or obeyed, while the other is subjective truth, of the child's carnal nature, of the world, with the child justifying himself, his lusts, doing what he feels like doing or wants to do instead. When it comes to behavior, which one the child turns to, discussion or dialogue determines who directs his paths or steps. If the child is still dialoguing with himself after having had a discussion with the father, he did not hear what the father had to say. Ezekiel 12 verse 20. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Eric Fromm, a Marxist, a logical connection emerges with the anthropological perspective of the young Marx, who advocated the removal of the father's authority from society, wherein the eye becomes the human eye, the ear the human ear. Eric Fromm, Marx's Concept of Man, Acts 28 verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Those of and for the world, when it comes to behavior side with the child, communicating through dialogue, they justify the child's lusts. Negating the father's authority in the mind of the child, they are then able to use the child to satisfy their lusts. We are now a nation of children in adult bodies, making behavior subject to dialogue, justifying lust, even in the church, negating the father's authority, facing damnation on judgment day. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 11 and 12. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 1 John 2 verse 18. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. When education becomes subject to dialogue, to the student's feelings of the moment, to their affective domain, the father's authority is destroyed in the thoughts of his children, directly affecting their actions. The educator, the facilitator of change, does not have to tell the students to question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack their parents' authority when they get home from school. If they were not doing that already, telling them would be old school, maintaining the old world order of being told, even if it was done for the purpose of change, that is, for the purpose of creating a new world order. All they have to do is use a curriculum in the classroom that encourages, that is, pressures the students out of their fear of the group rejecting and turning on them to participate in the process of change, that is, into dialoguing their opinions to a consensus, justifying their carnal nature, establishing lust over and therefore against their parents' authority, being told to be positive, supportive of the other student's carnal nature, and not negative, judging them by their parents' standards, pressures students to justify their and the other student's lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, doing so in order to be approved, that is, affirmed by the group, resulting in the group labeling those students who, holding on to their parents' standards, that is, refusing to participate in the process of change or fighting against it, as being negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, maladjusted, unadaptable to change, resistors of change, not team players, lower order thinkers, in denial, phobic, prejudiced, judgmental, racist, fascist, dictators, antisocial, etc., resulting in the group rejecting them. The student's natural desire for approval from others and fear of rejection, which is present in all of us, forces him to choose between obeying the father and be rejected by the group or going with the group, having to reject the father's standards, a condition known as cognitive dissonance, with him more than likely going with the group. Ernest R. Hilgard, An Introduction to Psychology, explained cognitive dissonance as the lack of harmony between what one does and what one believes. The pressure to change either one's behavior or one's belief. Irvin D. Yalom, in his book Theory and Practice and Group Psychotherapy, wrote, "Few individuals, as Ash has shown, can maintain their objectivity, their loyalty to the father's authority, in the face of apparent group unanimity. And the individual rejects critical feelings toward the group at this time to avoid a state of cognitive dissonance. To question the value or activities of the group would be to thrust himself into a state of dissonance. Long-cherished but self-defeating beliefs and attitudes may waver and decompose in the face of a dissenting majority." The same outcome applies to all adults in any profession who participate in the process. Once you are labeled for life. In the Soviet Union, once you were labeled psychological, no matter how important you were in the past, your life was over, your career was done. All teachers are now trained in the use of what are called Bloom's taxonomies as their curriculum in the classroom, destroying the father's authority in the thoughts of the students, directly affecting their actions, changing the nation. Bloom's taxonomies. There are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children. David Krathwohl, Benjamin S. Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Effective Domain. See the issue Traditional Education versus Bloom's Taxonomies. As Marxists took over the classroom, yes, I said Marxists, Bloom cited two Marxists, Theodor Adorno and Eric Fromm, as the Weltanschauung, or worldview of his taxonomies. Marxists, who call themselves facilitators of change, were able to overcome the restraints of the Constitution, using the classroom to come between the parents and their children, liberating their children from the father's authority system, destroying the sovereignty of home and the nation, damning the souls of the children, which is the intent of the taxonomies. When it comes to behavior, when you start with dialogue, with the child's carnal nature, you deny the father's authority. Rejecting being told right from wrong, you will be held accountable for being or doing wrong in the end by the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 2 verse 22, He is Antichrist, that beneath the Father and the Son. If you want to know more, while the earthly father is not perfect, he may be or might have been a tyrant or MIA or AWOL. The office he occupies, or was supposed to occupy, is perfect, having been given to him by the Heavenly Father in which to do his will. The new world order is based upon children lusting after pleasure, hating restraint, creating a world void of the Father's authority so they can do wrong, disobey, sin, that is lust, without having a guilty conscience, which the Father's authority engenders. While the Father, both earthly and heavenly, gives his children commands, rules, facts, and truth to apply in their lives or obey, he does not then tell them to compromise or suspend them if or when they get in the way of relationship with others, as society does. Socialism, the group, is dependent upon the child's natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, which all children have in common, needing to liberate the children from the father's authority, which causes division between the children. Since each father of a family holds his children accountable to standards that differ from the other families of the community, this is true for nations as well, thus being labeled by those of and for the world as being prejudiced. As long as children remain loyal to their father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, holding others accountable to them as well, those who do wrong, disobey, sin, that is those not doing the father's will, those of and for the world will be judged, condemned, and cast out, that is they will not be hired, they will be fired if hired, and will not be related with by them. For the socialist, Marxist, globalist, those of and for the world, having rejected the Heavenly Father's authority, believing the Heavenly Father's authority is the result of children recognizing and honoring their earthly father's authority in the home. The only way they can rule over the world is to destroy the father's authority in the home. Where are the fathers in the home today? Not only in the white family, but in the black family as well? I know. Those of and for the world, having drawn the father's children into dialogue when it comes to behavior, thus justifying their lusts, have, in the mind of the children, negated the father's God-given right of authority. In order for the facilitator of change to sin without having a guilty conscience, with the children's affirmation, thus owning the children. While the father's authority engenders individualism under God, as the result of each child personally being held accountable for his thoughts and actions by the father, in the light of his established commands, rules, facts, and truth, socialism is founded upon children finding their identity in the group, in compromise. There are generally speaking two opposing groups of socialists, with a broad spectrum in between. While both depend upon the group, that is society, one still holds onto a father's authority system. Why the Catholic Church so quickly acquiescent to fascism? The difference between fascism and globalism, traditional and transformational communism, or traditional and transformational Marxism, is the latter depends upon dialogue when it comes to behavior. It is the latter that has now taken over the world. When the Berlin Wall came down, everyone thought communism was defeated when in fact it had succeeded. Traditional communism, hardline Marxism, equated to fascism or national socialism, was defeated by transformational communism, globalism, by those merging Marxism and psychology, using the classroom and meetings, group psychotherapy, instead of bullets, brute force, to change the nation. The brute force will come later, to clean up what father's authority remains. As the Frankfurt School wrestled with how to reinvigorate Marx, they found the missing link in Freud. Martin J., The Dialectical Imagination, A History of the Frankfurt School and the Institute of Social Research, 1923-1950, Using Dialogue to Change the Individual, the Nation, and the World. Bohm and Pete, in their book Science, Order, and Creativity, explain the difference between discussion and dialogue. In an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relatively fixed positions and argue in favor of their views as they try to convince others to change. A dialogue is essentially a conversation between equals. The spirit of dialogue is, in short, the ability to hold many points of view in suspension, along with a primary interest in the creation of common meaning. When you make behavior subject to dialogue, where you have to suspend, as upon a cross, what the father says for the sake of relationship, you have laid the foundation for socialism, having to silence, censor, cast out, martyr. Anyone who insists upon everyone doing the father's will, insisting upon true discussion. Whenever you attempt to have a discussion, the true meaning of the word, in an environment of dialogue, you will always be perceived as being argumentative, negative, needing to be silent, participate in dialogue, be positive, or leave. From the Garden in Eden, where the children were supposed to do the father's will, that is to do what they were told, to Noah's sons who were supposed to scatter, maintaining the father's authority system in the home, depending upon God wherever they went, Abraham who was to leave his earthly father behind, the children of Israel who were not to intermarry, maintaining the father's authority system within the culture to the framing of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which did not kill, get rid of the king, as all socialist countries do but, as mentioned before, made the father in the home king, ruling over his family, property and business according to his convictions, creating the next generation of citizens to know right from wrong when it comes to behavior from being told, having a guilty conscience when they did wrong, disobeyed, or sinned. As the result of Marxists using dialogue, psychology, and Marxism, while one deals with the individual and the other with society, both are the same in that they both negate the father's authority in the individual and in the group, directly affecting their actions or behavior, to establish policy, make rules and law from the federal level down to the local community, even in the church and the home. Along with the schools, they were able to remove the father's authority from the classroom, replacing it with the feelings of the students, resulting in the facilitator of change owning them, now in control of home, the community, the state, the nation, and the world, that is society. Transformational education is based upon the Soviet system where the facilitator of change divides the students into groups, with each group having to include a deviant, immoral student, the true meaning of diversity, insisting upon all students being positive, that is tolerant of the deviant immoral student's behavior and not negative, insisting that the deviant immoral student repent and do right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth instead. Dialoguing their opinions to a consensus, there is no father's authority in dialogue, in an opinion, or in the consensus process, there is only the expression and justification of the student's self-interests, their lusts. Of the moment that the situation and or the other students are stimulating along with their rejecting of any student causing division by insisting the deviant immoral student repent and do what is right according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, over social issues, or socialist issues, where individualism, under God, is replaced with social worth, where the individual has no value outside of the social cause of the moment, this is the purpose for the use of the group grade, in the classroom, to a predetermined outcome, that no rule, policy, or law affecting behavior is to be made without the Soviet system, that is the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, incorporating the deviant immoral student's behavior in the outcome, preventing the father's authority system from establishing rules, policies, or laws regarding behavior. The Marxist Irvin Laszlo, the father of climate change, explaining the consensus process, the method being used to rebuild the Tower of Babel, wrote, "Bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making AI ad for clarity, bypassing the father's authority system, where the father has the final say," continuing, "Our objective centers upon transforming public opinion into an effective instrument of global politics. Individual values must be measured by their contribution to common interests and ultimately to world interests, transforming public consensus into one favorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. Consensus is both a personal and a political step. It is a precondition of all future steps." Irvin Laszlo, A Strategy for the Future. The System's Approach to World Order. Carl Rogers explained the power a facilitator has over a person or the people when he through dialogue gains access to what they are lusting after or coveting. If we have the power or authority to establish the necessary conditions, the predicted behaviors, our potential ability to influence or control the behavior of groups will follow. We can choose to use our growing knowledge to enslave people in ways never dreamed of before, depersonalizing them, controlling them by means so carefully selected that they will perhaps never be aware of their loss of personhood. We know how to change the opinions of an individual in a selected direction without his ever becoming aware of the stimuli which changed his opinion. We know how to influence the behavior of individuals by setting up conditions which provide satisfaction for needs of which they are unconscious, but which we have been able to determine. We can achieve a sort of control under which the controlled, though they are following a code much more scrupulously than was ever the case under the old system, nevertheless feel free. They are doing what they want to do, not what they are forced to do. By a careful design, we control not the final behavior, but the inclination to behavior, the motives, the desires, the wishes. The curious thing is that in that case, the question of freedom never arises. By removing discussion, where the teacher, instructing the students on what is right and what is wrong behavior has the final say, replacing it with dialogue, where the students, justifying their lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, have the final say when it comes to behavior, the father's authority in the home is destroyed. Children, including those in adult bodies, now do what they want when they want without having a guilty conscience, making themselves servants of facilitators of change, following after and supporting them with their time and money, defending them, protecting them, praising them, worshiping them, even willingly dying for them for justifying their lusts. When you leave God out of your academics, you are godless, creating a godless home, neighborhood, state, nation, and church, no matter your church affiliation. Martin Luther warned us of what happens when we leave the Father out of academics. "I greatly fear that the universities, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently and impress them on the young students, are wide gates to hell. I would advise no one to send his child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. Every institution that does not unceasingly pursue the study of God's Word becomes corrupt." In the following issues, I use quotations by those of and for the world, exposing them and their agenda with the Word of God. Having lectured, as a guest speaker, in California, liberal universities, Do I have to ad liberal? Using PowerPoint, exposing the dialectic process with the scriptures, shoving the professors, at least what they were teaching their students, down the hole of an outhouse, I asked Paul Garibaldi, who set these lectures up, how on earth he ever got me in there to speak, with his response being through much prayer and fasting. With the professors always responding when I finished, "We cannot refute a word you said in front of the hundreds of students present." Having read over 600 social psychology books, taught in a university at the 480-level class, given over 5,000 lectures, coast to coast, including radio and TV, even lecturing state and federal legislators and judges on the dialectic process, if you do not start with, stay with, and finish with the Word of God, you have nothing of worth to say. The world will love you. The Word of God is impeccable. You can deny it, but you cannot refute it. God has the final say. When he told Adam he would die if he disobeyed, Adam died because he disobeyed. Everyone since has died because of disobedience. God means what he says. A person can deny it, but someday he will die and prove God right. In summation, when God breathed the breath of life into Adam, something he did with nothing else in the creation, he made him a living soul. He created the use of dialogue, "I feel" and "I think," which is subject to the flesh and the world that stimulates it, with man having the final say, and he created the use of discussion, "I know because I was told," which is subject to God, with God having the final say. With Adam having both discussion, with God having the final say and dialogue, with him having the final say, he could only communicate with discussion with God. With God having the final say, since nothing in the creation can dialogue, go, "I feel," and "I think," except man. Even Jesus never went, "I feel," and "I think." The night before the cross, coming close with him, responding, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." For Adam to dialogue with God, making himself equal with God, was not going to happen. Nothing in the creation can read or write a book, can be told by others, or tell others what is right and what is wrong behavior. Nothing. Everything in the creation, including the flesh of man, is subject to stimulus response, with animals' impulses, urges, instincts, approaching pleasure and avoiding pain being all there is. Only man, made in the image of God, can read and write a book, can be told and tell others what is right and what is wrong behavior, making him subject to God and not the world, being in the world but not to be of it. Genesis 2 verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Genesis 2 verses 16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Genesis 2 verse 20, "And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him." Genesis 2 verse 18, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Matthew 26 verse 42, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Romans 10 verse 17, "It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Thus Adam was all alone in the creation, not being able to dialogue with anything in the creation but himself. God brought all the animals to him, which he named, but none, not being able to dialogue, could dialogue with him. It was then God created the woman. "It is not good that man be alone." The tension he felt being alone by himself in the creation was then resolved. He and the woman could dialogue with one another regarding what they liked and did not like, regarding the fruit of the trees in the garden. "When you go out to eat, you choose from the menu what foods you like, not choosing the foods you do not like." Like God, you having the final say. "But when you are told the foods you like are bad for you," which is a discussion, "you now have a choice, not between what you like and do not like, but between doing right and not wrong according to what you have been told. If you go to dialogue, you will eat what is not good for you to eat. If you go to discussion, you will more than likely not eat it." As long as Adam and the woman dialogued regarding what they could do, they were fine. It was when the woman began dialoguing with herself regarding what she could not do that trouble began. It was the master facilitator of change who drew her dialogue out, regarding what he could not do with what is called a neurolinguist sentence, "Ye hath not God said," an embedded statement in a question, with her sharing her dissatisfaction with God's command. He was then able to own her by creating a safe place space zone where she could share what she was lusting after without fear of being judged, condemned, and cast out. "Ye shalt not surely die," doing what all psychotherapists do. This is their model. This is Marxism in a nutshell. Why God is going to cast the master facilitator of change into the lake of fire that is never quenched, prepared for him along with all who followed after him, doing their will instead of God's when it comes to behavior. This is Marxism in a nutshell. Why God is going to cast the master facilitator of change into the lake of fire that is never quenched, prepared for him along with all who followed after him, doing their will instead of God's when it comes to behavior. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" This is a neurolinguistic construct, an embedded statement in a question, sensitizing a person to their lusts when it comes to right and wrong behavior, beginning the process of liberating a person's lust out from under their fear of judgment, that is out from under the Father's authority, bring dialogue forward out from under the restraint of discussion, which is one of the most powerful forms of hypnosis. And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it." She revealed her lust, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." Removing the negative, that is fear of judgment, which was not a lie regarding the here and now, that is the tree itself did not kill her, or Adam, but a lie regarding the there and then, with God removing her, and Adam, from having access to the tree of life, for their disobedience, then, after death both coming to judgment, that is inheriting eternal life or eternal death. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods," which dialogue does. Everyone is a god in dialogue, knowing good and evil, according to their carnal nature. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, evaluating, Aufheben, from her senses, that is from her understanding, she made herself the establisher of right and wrong behavior. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Genesis 3 verses 1-6, emphasis added. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked?" Excerpts from Genesis 3 verses 8-11. When God showed up, Adam and the woman hid, knowing what they did was wrong, establishing their relationship with one another, dialogue, more important than fellowship with God, discussion. God's response to Adam when he told God he was naked was, "Who told you?" When it came to God's response, Adam and the woman became the first liberals with Adam, not admitting that what he did was wrong and repenting, but blaming the situation and someone else. He threw the woman under the bus. It is all her fault, along with God. "Look what you did. You created this unhealthy environment for me to live in. It is all your fault." The woman doing the same. "It's the serpent's fault. He talking me into doing what I wanted to do." The forbidden tree did not kill them. Their disobedience did. Their soul died in the moment. Their body, no longer having access to the tree of life, died later. The soul know from being told, discussion. The flesh by sense experience, dialogue. While the change in communication, from discussion to dialogue when it comes to behavior is subtle, the consequence is eternal. Genesis 3 verses 22 and 23, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken." 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Revelation 10 verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Contact, D. deangotcher@gmail.com. Copyright Institution for Authority Research, Dean Gotcher, 2024, October 19, 2024.